Today's gospel reading comes from the fifth chapter of Matthew. You may go ahead and be seated. Like it says in our gospel, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Gospel of the Lord. Need my glasses for this. I have a joke. This might be a groaner. You might groan on this one. A man goes to his dentist because he feels something wrong in his mouth. The dentist examines him and says, "That new upper plate I put in for you 6 months ago is eroding. What have you been eating?" The man replies, All I can think of is that about 4 months ago, my wife made some asparagus and put some stuff on it that was delicious. Hollandaise sauce. I love it so much, I now put it on everything. Meat, toast, fish, vegetables, everything." "Well," said the dentist, "that's probably the problem. Hollandaise sauce is made with lots of lemon juice, which is highly corrosive. It's eating away your upper plate. I'll make you a new plate, and this time use chrome." "Why chrome?" asked the patient, to which the dentist replies, "It's simple. Everyone knows that there's no place like chrome for the hollandaise." There's no place like chrome for the hollandaise. Yeah. Good night, everybody. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that had to be done, but it was a groaner. So as I was thinking about this day, and I was thinking about the readings, you know, you start in the beginning, we have this Revelation reading where we're at the end. And in the end, everyone is gathered around God, and around the center is the Lamb, who is Jesus, and there is rejoicing, and every tear is wiped if there are tears to be had still there, and we are with God. And as we learned in the Bible study that we've done on Tuesday mornings, we just studied the book of Revelation, and now we're studying Genesis, and it turns out the tree of life, which is also in that scene, it's not in this reading, but it's in that scene later on, the tree of life is there. And in the beginning, in Genesis, there was a tree of life. There are two trees in Genesis, tree of good and evil, tree of life. We ate from the tree of good and evil, so we know a lot of things now. But the tree of life, God said, "Well, I'm going to take that away, but I'm going to have it in heaven when you come back." The tree of life, so life. From the beginning till the end is life. Always life with God. Always life with God. That's the promise. Always, always, always God is with us in some way. And so Jesus comes along. And so that's what scene two is, the second reading, 1 John. And 1 John says, we are beloved children of God. And I don't think we can hear that enough, or know that enough. It's so easy to forget that we're not. And especially if we get hurt, or like I talked about with Scooby-Doo, if we're alone or scared, sometimes God is hard to find. And then that's when God sends people just normal people like you and me frequently, who are saints in our lives, who come and bring God to us and help us to remember we are beloved children of God. And then we move to scene 3 in Matthew, the Beatitudes, blessedness, honor, happy. Those are words that are used in the Greek or that could be translated for the Greek for blessed. Who is honored? Who is it happy to be a person like this? And so as I was thinking about the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed are the peacemakers, all of those things, I thought, what would it be like if, let's say, we're in a hospital bed? Now, some of you, how many of you have been in a hospital bed before? Anybody ever been in a hospital bed? Many of us have here, myself included. What I've learned, both as a chaplain and as a patient, is most people do not want to be in a hospital bed. That's just something I've learned. Not everybody likes that situation. Now, if you're healing and you know that, that's great, and you can't wait to leave. So sometimes it's good to be there to know what you don't want in life. But here you are sitting in this hospital bed, and I was thinking about this scene, that you're there, you're alone, you're not sure whether it's because you had a simple routine, or you're there for pneumonia, or you're there because you have cancer, or you just had surgery, or you just had a heart bypass. There's lots of different reasons to be in a hospital, and you're sitting there, and Jesus comes to you, like Jesus came to the people. Jesus is bringing God's relationship to us. Jesus brought God's relationship to the people on that mountain in that moment. Life starts and ends, and it's always with God, and it's in this moment. So imagine that scene. You're in bed, and you're, you know, you look, and you know, there's Jesus. What would Jesus say to you? What should Jesus say to you? What if he spoke these words to you from the Beatitudes, the blessedness of life? And who's blessed? Would you resonate? Do those work for you? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Would you want to hear that if you were sitting in the hospital? Maybe. Maybe not. And in those first ones, when he's talking about blessed are the poor in spirit and the meek and the mourners, I think he's setting up the scene for the kingdom of God is for everybody, and it especially starts with those who are struggling, who are poor and who are meek and mourning and hurting and alone. That's who the blessedness is for first. And the people who give blessedness to others, the peacemakers, those are the ones who give God, give God to us. God's love flows through those people, which we call saints. There's a movie that Beth and I saw, Saint Vincent. Have any of you seen this one or heard of this one? It's, if you've seen the commercials, it has Bill Murray, and in the commercial, Bill Murray's sitting in a dirt, his backyard. Kind of a low-maintenance yard. It's just dirt. And it's being mowed by a lawnmower, even though it's just dirt. I mean, that's the scene. This movie is a fantastic movie about sainthood, because one of the things it talks about in the movie, the boy, the main character, is given an assignment to find a saint. All the boys in his Catholic school give an assignment. Find a saint amongst us, amongst your life. Who's a saint amongst you? And so the boy looks out, and one of the things, the points of his story is that saints can be not so good people, but they can do great things. And that ties in, it's a very Lutheran movie, because our Lutheran understanding of saint and sinner, we can do fantastic godly things and God works through us, and then sometimes the sinner part, we do not do the fantastic things, that, and God doesn't work through us because we are human. But God works through our weakness, and that's how saints work. So as we watch that movie, it got me to thinking, all right, if Jesus is sitting there, or let's take Jesus out for a second, because maybe we can't imagine Jesus, but we can imagine a friend. Or we can imagine a family member, a saint, someone that you know is bringing God to you in that moment. What does that person look like? Who are they? Well, Joyce Rupp is a great spiritual theologian, and she, when she talks about saints, she expands the Beatitudes some, and she helps us to think about, if you're thinking about saints, give thanks for these people. And I'm just expanding now for us, as we prepare to light candles for people who have gone before, we can also light a candle for people who have helped us to get to God in the deepest times when we've needed. But she says, let us remember the ones who lived and loved deeply, who found the source of their inner strength for you, the divine beloved. When I was in that hospital bed, which I was in Aberdeen, a retired pastor came to me and prayed with me. Simple prayer reminded me I was a beloved child of God. And the light of Christ, he was like an angel. The light of Christ came upon me. I had hope. It just was wonderful. It was a simple prayer. He probably said a dozen words. And from just those few simple words, he's probably prayed 5,000 times at a hospital bed in his 50 years of ministry. But this particular moment, God was present. And I knew God is in the beginning. God will be in the end after I die. And God is here right now. So that's what she means by the ones who lived and loved deeply and help us find God. Let us remember the light-filled ones who enkindled our spirits with their teaching and the spark of their beliefs. Those are the people that they're just always faithful. You know, those people who are always happy. I don't wake up happy, but they're always happy. They're always faithful. We have those gifted people among us. Let us remember the risk-takers who faced their fear and took action, who sought justice even though they had to pay a price for it, which is parallel to what Jesus was talking about. Let us remember the vulnerable ones who allow us to care for them, to be with them in their time of need. Vulnerable ones, dependent ones. They allow us to be saints. If you are a parent or a grandparent or an aunt or an uncle, or if you've ever babysitted, or if you've taught Sunday school, all of us know what that means. There are vulnerable people. If you had a spouse who needed your attention constantly, or have a spouse like that, that's what she's talking about. Let us give thanks and remember the vulnerable ones that we care for. To be with them in their time of need. Let us remember the faith-filled ones who brought us to the Holy One, who led us by their words and example into the deepest relationship with God. And let us remember the brave ones who walked through their struggle with hope, who taught us how to trust and have confidence during our times of sorrow and difficulty. When I was in that bed, boom, I needed that. I needed it. And God brought that gift of that pastor to me. If you haven't experienced that in your life, I pray that God sends you an angel like that, because it's awesome. So, the last thing I'll say is David Losey, who's a preaching professor, a lot of people like to look to see what he has to say for all of the texts every time we have these texts every Sunday. And so sometimes I'll listen to a preaching professor. So in this case, I think it's a good thing, because this is what he would want. And so this is what he says. And so promise your folks that Jesus will indeed, as we heard in the first reading, wipe every tear from our eyes one day. And in the meantime, remind them that Jesus sees our struggles and knows our grief. Indeed, he has borne them in his cross and bears them with us even now. Jesus is Emmanuel, That's what we look forward to at Christmas. God comes to us now. God comes to us through Jesus. God comes through us through the saints in our lives. Life with God from the beginning until the end, and especially now. Amen.